Yes, Lord, we bow before you. We bow before you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the host. You own the host of heavens, and they obey your name. You created the earth and the stars and the sky above us, and yet you became one of us. Lord, you are transcendent, and yet you became immanent. You came close to us, Lord. And so we behold you now. We ask, God, that you would open our eyes to see you clearly today. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts to receive your love and to be able to share that with others. We praise you for your greatness. We praise you for your majesty. We praise you for the honor that is due your name. And we praise you for your love that you sacrificed for us. May you use our lives now. May you speak through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this will only make sense to just a few people, but I forgot my sunglasses, and so my eyes are hurting right now. That won't make sense to any of you, but just a few, but to those that it does. I hope you enjoy it. We just came out of the Christmas season, and now we are into a new year. And it's a perfect time for us to kick off our year by paying attention to what's most important. And this is what's most important. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much. He gave his son for you. And everything that we are going through and everything that stands in our way and everything that we struggle through, it all fades in comparison to the fact that God loves us. And everything should be viewed through that regard. And so let's remember that as we go through today and the year to come and some hard things potentially for you and your loved ones coming up. There's no ending to God's love. Oh, and so we could talk about it forever. We could continually talk about God's love, but God also wants us to respond to his love. He wants us to react to it. And a main reaction that he wants for us to have is by joining and being involved in the life of his church. And so we decided that we were going to kick off this new year with a 3-week look, a mini series on going through our constitution and bylaws. And I know you're just super giddy inside to hear that. I know you're like, all right, constitution. That's so awesome. I came here and I was expecting a regular, and they're going to go through the constitution. I get it. Usually when I hear constitution, my eyes start rolling into the back of my head and I stop caring at all. I get it. I totally understand. But here's why we want to do it. We want to go through the basics again. We want to really solidify and go back to the things that are foundational to us, foundational to who we are at Community Bible Chapel, things that are foundational for any solid church. We want to remind ourselves about these things. And you may be saying, well, these are the basics. I know these. I've been to church forever. I already understand these. So why should I care about going through the Constitution and what's in there? Well, first off, we're not going to go through the entire Constitution. We're just going to go through some of the most important, pertinent stuff right at the beginning. And also, it's just good to be reminded sometimes. It's just good to be reminded. We tend to think we know stuff, but really often stuff floats out of our mind. We forget things. We tend to release them and not hold them as tightly as we often think we are. And so one reason to do it is it's just good to be reminded of the truth. But second off, folks, it cost the Father the life of his son, Christ, to give us the church. It cost Jesus' life for us to get the church. And so from God's perspective, the church is invaluable. And so understanding what makes it us tick and who we are and what is there at the foundation of why we are a church and what's there is very, very important. Christ died for us to be together, to gather as one. And the church offers benefits that only the church can offer. There are certain things that the church gives us that you can't find anywhere else. The world can't give it to you. Your family can't give it to you. Your mind and your intellect and your wealth and all of that, you can't receive some of the things that only the church can give you. So yes, not only should we remind ourselves about these things, we should also be riveted with the significance of what the church is. So that's what I want us to be able to recapture in these weeks. One more note before we dive in about how you should view this discussion. So not just, hey, we're talking about it, I understand this, but I want you to have a certain mindset as you're listening to what we're talking about. Often when we think about a constitution or mission statements or purposes in an organization, oftentimes you can think of like a country or like a company, and usually they're setting those up to set themselves up in competition with others, right? So the United States Constitution is in stark contrast to a communist country, and they're what they would be founded on, right? And so those things, let me pause real quick. I totally forgot. Kids time is today. We have that offered. And so if any of our kids want to go back, Miss Diana and Miss Deborah are taking care of the kids. My apologies. My apologies. Yeah, so if you're a company, you want to come up with your mission statement. You know, we're McDonald's. This is why we're better than Burger King, or this is why we're better than Wendy's. And there's no way they're going to say that they're better than Chick-fil-A, because we all know Chick-fil-A is better. But, you know, you set up these things to say, I am better than the other competition. Now, it's easy for us to think, hey, we got a church constitution. Why are we better than all the other churches, huh? What makes us better than all the other ones? That's not the mindset I want us to have. We don't have this church constitution to say, this is why we're better than all the other ones. Look at us. Come here. That's not what we're doing. We're on the same team with the other churches. We're all fighting the same cause. We're all on the same side, right? So don't try to be viewing this as what makes CBC so much better than everybody else. What I want you to be thinking about is what makes this constitution and what we're talking about different from the church, from the rest of the world. That's what I want you to be thinking about over the next 3 weeks. So as we hit these things, what is the church giving us that we can't get anywhere else? Not to say that we're the only church doing this. Obviously, other churches are going to have a lot of similar things that are similar to what we have. But we're on the same team. There's a Leo Tolstoy wrote a book called Anna Karenina, and the first line in it is something along the lines of this. All happy families are the same. All unhappy families are unhappy in their own unique way. And it gets to this idea. Here's the idea. If you want to have a happy family, there's only a certain number of things that you need to do. There's just a certain number of things that you need to do. And if you miss that by any stretch in any different way, you start to make yourself unhappy. It's the same thing with the concept of sin, right? Sin originally was an archery term. So if you're shooting an arrow and you miss the bullseye, that's called sin. There's a lot of ways to miss the bullseye, right? But there's one bullseye. There's a lot of ways to be an unhappy family, but there's one way to have a happy family. Here's the idea and why I'm saying this. There's pretty much one way to have a good, healthy church. There's just a group of things that are there that make you a healthy church. And so if you're a healthy church like us, then you're going to have similar things. So our mission statement is going to sound really similar to a lot of other churches. And the things that we care about are going to sound a lot like other churches. But they're going to sound a lot different than what the world is offering. So we want to understand what that trajectory is. And we want to understand what that is because there's one path. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the way. There is one way to get to him. And then he also said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Godly churches aren't against one another. We are united with Christ, the way. And we oppose the broad way that leads to destruction that the world offers. So the point isn't to differentiate us, our church, with other churches. It's us versus what the world offers. All right, so let's start looking at what we are going to be going through today. We're going to look at today our mission statement and our church's purposes. The next couple weeks then, we're going to go through our doctrine next week. We have like 15 lists. We're not going to hit every single one, but we're going to take that in totality. And then our last third week, we're going to look at membership and what we expect of members and what members get off of being a member at our church and why, where that's coming from scripturally. Excuse me. So here's our mission statement. Our mission statement is love God, love our neighbor, love one another. That's who we are. That's what we're going after. That's our goal. Love God, love our neighbor, love one another. Why do we have this as our mission statement? Well, because God loved us first. We have a desire to love God, to love his people because God loved us first. It says that directly in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. None of us starts out loving God on our own. We don't automatically love the Lord. We don't automatically love those other than the ones that love us intentionally first, right? We don't automatically love humanity. We love those that love us. Now, God loved us first. He loved us with a deep, abiding, passionate love. And because of that, we then love him and then love other people. He died on the cross for us. And so now we can be loving to others. And so our mission statement here derives directly from two texts. And you kind of put them together and you get the whole picture. So the first text here is Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. It says this, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. He's talking to Jesus, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You got over 600 of them. Which one do you think is the best one? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So there you go. You get the full law and the prophets summed up with that. Those two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. And then we jump to John 13:34, where he's with the disciples and he gives them a new commandment. He says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Simple mission. Love God, love your neighbor, love one another. The center of the gospel is God's love for us. And for us to then respond in love to him and in love to other people. And so it flows from this central mission that God had to love us, that our mission then is loving as well. And from this mission, we flow into our purposes. And if you have a constitution, if you have become a member, you've received one of those. And if you'd like one of them, we'd like to get that to you. We have five different purposes that our church is aligned with. And so let me start by summarizing them. they're a little longer than this, but here they are in summary. Our purposes, because God loved us, our purposes are 1, to worship, 2, to teach God's word, 3, to spread the gospel, 4, to pray and administer the ordinances, and 5, to fellowship with one another. Those are our purposes. This is bedrock. This is the foundation. This is who we are. This is what we do. The reason why we exist at all is to do these 5 things. And if we're not doing these 5 things, we are failing miserably. But, praise the Lord, we're doing a great job. We're doing a great job with you. So let's take each of these in more detail. So the first one here is this. The fullness of it is, first purpose, to worship, praise, and give thanks to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we have a verse that goes along with this one. And it spells it out really clearly. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. That's an amazing passage. So here's this idea. In the Old Testament, you gave sacrifices to God to show that you were devoted to him, that you loved him, that you cared for him, you were obedient to him. Now here's one of the ways that we can sacrifice. Lips that give thanks to him. It's a sacrifice for us to choose what we say, what we sing, what we declare with our mouth. And so for us, we want to declare praises and thanksgiving to the God who loves us and gave us everlasting life. And so as we go through these, we're going to talk about why they're here and why we care about them so much. So on this one, why do we care about worship? Why do we care about that? Because God deserves it. Because he's earned it. We just sang a song about him being on his throne. We don't get to see it yet, but that doesn't make it unreal. He has a throne in heaven. He reigns, and he's coming back. And he's going to take control of everything. And he's good, and he's loving, and he's holy, and he's righteous. And so he deserves our worship. He created us. We don't have existence. We don't have life without him. It's only proper. The only thing that makes sense is to worship him. To give him of ourselves and to give him adoration for who he is. Now, why do we do this corporately? Why does it matter that we do this as a group, right? What you've heard this, I've got a personal relationship with God, which is a good thing, right? There are some that only think of a relationship with God as I went to a building, I did a thing, and that was my relationship with God. No, you want to have a personal relationship with God, but is that all that God wants from you? No. God wants all his kids together. We just had Christmas, right? How great was it when families got together? I was talking to some other people in other parts of the country where COVID's going crazy, and they were like, we couldn't get together with family. And it's awful. It's awful when you can't gather the whole family together for a celebration. This is the way God thinks. He wants all his kids together. And there's something that's special about us all being together where we are transformed and changed by being with one another. We need one another. We're not just isolated people. We need to be united and connected with one another. And there's something special that happens when God brings us all together in the purpose of worshiping him. And so how does this then differentiate us, this desire to worship and to give thanks and praise? How does that make us different than the world? It should be pretty obvious. The world is not worshiping God. The world does not put God as the top thing to worship, top thing to care about. God is an afterthought, if at all, for most people. And so for us, we want to differentiate ourselves. We want the truth. We want to worship the God who deserves everything. And that's why we come together. So that's purpose number one. Purpose number two is this, to teach the word of God to believers so that they might be built up in the faith and be equipped for the work of the ministry. And so we've got a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, if we can get that on the screen for us. There's a few things that come up on this, right? So he gave some as apostles and prophets, et cetera, et cetera, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's why he gave us these different roles, right? And then, but speaking the truth in love, notice love, right? Love is at the core of all of this. Love is where everything's springing from. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, right? So there is an element to which when we are gathered together and when we are obedient to Christ, he is building us up. He's maturing us. He's making us more like Jesus. His love is transforming us. And then it ends for the building up of itself in love. That's what the church is doing. It's building itself in love. So as God's love is poured out upon us and we respond also and carry that love and love one another, we are being built up into service so that we can do the things that God calls us to do. One of those things, if we look back at the purpose, we also quote there Ephesians chapter 6, which is the armor of God passage. All of us are in a spiritual battle against the enemy. And so we need to be trained and equipped for service so that we can fight a real spiritual battle, so that the ones that are preventing love from coming through can be taken out so that love can reign. God's love can reign over us. So why is God's word so important? Why do we care about that? Why do we single out God's word? Why do we do that? Well, it's because it's God's word to us. It's his communication. The idea is that God has spoken to us. The creator has spoken to us. What else would we listen to? Oprah may be a great person, but she's not God. And so she's not our authority, right? There's no person that's our authority. We're getting our authority straight from God's mouth. Why is that our sole focus? Why don't we have some other sources that we're going to? Because it's the only true, reliable source that we can go to. And it's enough. God has spoken enough for us to trust it. We have enough. It's sufficient for all that we need. And so we don't need to go somewhere else. We have all that we need to understand the war that we're in and how to do it. And why do we care so much about being equipped? I alluded to it. Because there's a war going on. There's a war happening that has literal effects here and now. Satan wants to kill and destroy. And you've all seen it. You've seen it be torn apart with impatience or with jealousy or with greed or with maliciousness, right? You've seen all the different ways that Satan can tear up people that you love, yourself included. There's a war that's happening. And if you just open up your eyes to pay attention to it, to see if it's there, you can't help but see it everywhere. We need to be equipped to fight against that. So where do we get our training? Is it our own minds? Do we dive deep inside our hearts to find it? No, we go to God's word. Because he's the one that defeated death. He's the one that defeated the devil on the cross. He knows what he's talking about. And so we go to God's word. Now, if we teach and we, all these roles, including teachers, including pastors from Ephesians 4, were given for the equipping of the saints, what does that indicate? It indicates a few things. We're all participating. That's the first thing, right? This isn't the pastor show. You didn't come to the pastor show. You didn't come to a comedy club to see somebody do comedy. You didn't come to see some people sing. No, you came to participate. You came to be changed and to be impacted so that you would be equipped Right? That's the whole purpose. The purpose is not to come see what the church is doing. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what he's going to preach about. I wonder what songs they're going to do. That's not what we're doing here. You're coming here so that you are transformed, that you can be built up to be more like Jesus, and so that your connection with the rest of us also impacts other people, and we all become more like Christ. That's one thing that it means. The other thing that it means is there's a mission. And the mission is out there. The way to think about what we're doing is in here, when we gather here or in life groups, or you guys get together at lunch and you are gathered in God's name, you are training yourself. This is like, think of this as the camp. This is the base. And the war is out there, and we're coming to get trained and to get fitted up and to get equipped and to get our weapons and to rest and to be rejuvenated so that we can go back out there. That's the mission. You didn't complete your mission by coming to church. Okay, check box. Got it. I did it. I did my job. Now I can go back to my life. Like, no. You came to get equipped so that you could go out and you could bring God's glory into the world. That's what that means. So how does this separate us from the world? It's God's word that guides us rather than blind guides that lead us astray. The world has a ton of blind guides. What happens if a blind man leads a blind man? They both fall into a pit. That's what's happening in the world. That's how we're different. All right, third purpose, to spread the gospel through personal witnessing of individual believers, through worship services, and through support of missionaries of like faith. So we've got three things there, right? Personal, you as an individual, me as an individual, presenting the gospel, sharing the gospel, us also collectively sharing the gospel, and having missionaries that aren't in this location go out and do the same thing. And so you guys know Matthew 28, all authority has been given on me, go and make disciples of all nations, right? And Romans 10:15 talks about how important it is for those to go out and to share the gospel. And so why do we care about sharing the gospel? Because Christ is the King. That's why. Because he reigns. And because we want to declare that. So here's what gospel was. It had a secular use before the New Testament writers picked it up. And the idea was this. Caesar would win a battle and he'd be coming into town. And there would be a herald that would come and be proclaiming the good news, the gospel. He'd come and proclaim a gospel. Good news, Caesar won the battle. He's coming and y'all need to not revolt. Basically is the idea. Here's the idea with God's gospel. Jesus is the King. He's coming back. And you better be prepared. And you better respond appropriately to that. He deserves it. It's really, truly good news. He's not like Caesar coming to abuse us. He's coming to set us free. And it is what saves us. This is why we care about the gospel. All right, so how do you do it as an individual? Well, first you got to know what it is. You got to know what the gospel is. Then you need to believe it. And then you need to go proclaim it. And guess what? Here's something I've learned in all my years being a Christian. You usually don't share the gospel unless you intend to do it. You go through your day and you're not thinking about it. Guess how many times I've shared the gospel when I wasn't thinking about it during that day? That happens all the time. But the times where I do share the gospel, it's usually because I was intentional. I put it in my mind. I need to find a way to get the gospel out. So how can I be thinking about it? What opportunities can I find? Who could be ready to hear the gospel that I should go and approach? How do we spread then the gospel in our services? Well, mostly through the singing of the songs that we sing. We're proclaiming the gospel. When we were talking about God being on his throne, guess what? That's part of the gospel. We were declaring it. You were singing it to one another. You are declaring the gospel. God's love is central to the gospel. We've declared that in song. He deserves our praise and our affection. That's the response to the gospel. We've declared that through that. And then obviously through my preaching and whoever else is preaching. Paul preached the gospel last week for you guys. So we declare it in those ways. And why do we support missionaries that aren't just here locally? We do support things that are happening here locally, but why do we then go internationally and around the world? Here's why. God deserves it all. God deserves glory from everybody. And so we want his name to be made known everywhere so that everybody would respond. So what makes us different by proclaiming the gospel? Well, one, we've responded to it, and it's our heartbeat, and it's what set us free, and it's made us free. If you look around the world and those around you, there's a lot of people who are not free. They're enslaved by their passions, by their lusts, by their pursuits. The gospel has made us free. And so we want to sacrifice our lives in support the proclamation of the gospel. All right, number four, to meet for prayer and the administration of the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so why do we care about this? Why do we care about prayer? We care about prayer because it's communion with God. We get to commune with him. We get to talk with him. And guess what? We want to ask him for everything that he can give to us. You can try to gain anything that you're praying for, right? You can use your own strength to try to make that happen. Maybe your son is struggling with something and he's having a hard time. You can try your best to help your son out. But what your son really needs is Jesus. Your son needs Jesus to transform him. Maybe your business partner is giving you a hard time and they're doing something wrong. And you're trying to come up with ways. How can I stop him from totally thwarting this company? And absolute, no, you don't need to figure that out. And the best you could do wouldn't do a good job anyways. You need Christ to do that for you. How does that happen? You ask in prayer. You ask that he would supply what only he can supply. And so that's why we pray. Why do we care about baptism? Why do we do baptism? Because it's the declaration of allegiance. It's us declaring publicly, I am with Christ. I'm not with the world. I'm not with anything else. I am with him. Why do we do communion corporately together? It's because it's the family getting together around the table to eat a meal with our God and Savior. To remember what it cost for us to be together. To remember that he's coming back and to declare that to one another. The king is returning. This is why we get together. So how does that make us different than everything else? It's because God's present with us. When we pray, when we pray together, by the way, we'll do a prayer in service, right? What do we want you doing while that's happening? Are you just listening to the prayer? Are you just, receiving it? No, we actually want you to participate. You can spiritually. God sees what your spirit is doing. And so while I'm praying, the hope is, or Chris is praying, or anybody else up here is praying, the hope is that you are also joining in spiritually with that prayer and agreeing with it and asking God to do what the prayer is requesting. We want you to participate and be active with that. Okay? Same thing with communion. Same thing with baptism. You are participating by being with us. And God said, when two or more are gathered in his name, he's there with us. So that makes us different. But then the other thing that makes us different by praying and doing the ordinances is we're not relying on ourselves, and the world only relies on itself. That sets us apart. All right, last one, to provide fellowship and to minister to the needs of the brethren. Okay, man, this last week, you guys have nailed it. You've hit it out of the ballpark. We've had a number of stuff happen right around this, you know, Sal's death happened and a number of other things happened. And I saw you guys come in full force to help Willie out, to help other people out. Elizabeth Briggs had the issue with her hands. So many people helped out with the meal train and with rides and with all sorts of things, you guys. You guys have done an awesome, awesome, awesome job. And this isn't the first time. You guys routinely do this. Purpose to fellowship with one another, to meet each other's needs. Why do we do that? Because we need each other. God didn't create us as gods. He created us as humans with limitations. And he gave each other to us so that we could have all the needs that we need, so that we can take care of one another. Love happens when there's two or more. You guys have done such a good job with that. And so what makes us different? It's one thing to sacrifice for those that you love already and that love you. It's another thing to sacrifice for those that are your enemies or are different than you or are separate from you. That's the whole point of the church. Not the whole point, but one of the main points of the church is that we've got different people from different walks of life that are different experiences, and we all love each other because Christ has called us to that. The world is trying to, our country and our culture is trying to increase diversity. But it ends up looking like they all end up believing the same things. And if you don't, then you're kicked out. You're not allowed in. We're different here. We want to be a diverse people who love one another. So having said all of that, having gone through our five purposes and stuff that I'm sure you guys already know, here's what I want you to really, really think through. What does the world have to offer you that can match that? When you experience all those things truly, deeply, what does the world have to offer? It has fakes and hollow things. That's what it offers you. It may be flashy, maybe splashy, it may grab your attention, but it's broken and it's hollow inside. The church, our church, and other godly churches offer you things that you can't get other places, like God himself. That's what makes us different. The church is offering you communion with God, alignment with who you are designed to be, the fight of all fights for the cosmos. You can join in that fight in unconditional love. That's why you want to come here and be a part of us. And that's what you want to offer to people that are on the outside. Church is boring. I don't like church. I don't like these things. You don't like unconditional love? You don't like getting involved in a fight that's actually over the universe? You don't like actually being able to play out the Avengers? The Avengers are fighting aliens in these movies and you're just watching it and you could actually participate in the real thing and you're like, oh, that's boring. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Oh, there's God. Do I want to be with him? No, I'd rather not. Come on, people. Come on. You want this, right? Like, this is what we have to share with people. That's what you tell. Yeah, okay. I understand sitting through a service may feel boring, but guess what? It's not just the service here. It's not boring when your husband dies and a whole bunch of people, a whole flock of people come to your door to help you when you need it most. That's not boring. That's great. This is what you need. This is what your neighbors need. This is what your family needs. Bring them. Come on down. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to explain just a little bit more, but just do a discussion. It'll be less preaching and more just kind of a discussion. And then Chris and the band will come up to finish up. So pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, God, we bow before your throne. And we expectantly wait for your return. We are desperate for you. And God, we need to commune with you. God, it's hard for us to see you. Even coming to church sometimes, it's hard to see you, even though you promise that you're here. But I pray, God, that we would have eyes that are open to see you, to connect with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd allow us to experience that deeply and truthfully. And that we'd be able to take that with us as we do our mission out in the world. God, may you use this for your gospel's sake. We pray this in your name. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to take a few minutes here and to go through. Most people think when they think of church, they think of the worship service. And we talked a little bit about that, right? Okay, it's pretty easy to see in the worship service how we do these purposes. But that's not all that we do as the church. The church is not the building. The church is the people gathered, the gathering of believers. So when we came in God's name to Willie's house, when Sal passed away, that was the church gathered, right? When you get together with somebody else from this church and you are intentionally getting together for lunch or coffee or going to their house to talk about what's going on, you are the church gathered, all right? So I wanted to just talk through a few things that may not be obvious to you, how those play out beyond just the worship service. So let me get my notes here. All right, so that first one, right? How do we worship and praise and give thanks to the triune God? How does our church do that? Obviously, the service, but we also do that in our life groups. That's another place that we do that. So a men's discipleship group that I lead, first thing that we do is we say, hey, celebrate. What has God done in your life this last week? And we thank God for it, right? I want you to also do that when you gather together as individuals. Or if we have, say, a women's ministry, that's part of what we're doing. We're doing this so that we are worshiping God. How else do we see teaching happen? Well, we have our services here, but we also have Sunday school. So Sunday school happens right before this, 9:30. Right now, my class is going through 1 Peter. We're doing a deep, deep dive into 1 Peter, teaching you not just about 1 Peter, we're also teaching you how to learn and study your Bible. How can you take all the stuff that I do so that I'm able to do what I do? I'm giving that away to you guys. So that's a way. When we have, Melissa's going to do a women's Bible study. And so that's another way for you to get involved. It's also a good idea for you guys to individually get together with the purpose of studying the Bible together. We encourage that. Please do that. That's the church doing it. Let me see. What else we got? Third one. Share the gospel. How does our church share the gospel? All right. So we've done a number of things with the service, obviously. But then there's other times where we want to go out and we want to do certain events. And so what we could really use from you all is the avenues that you have in your spheres of influence. What would be some good events or things that we could do to go reach the people that you know with the gospel? That doesn't have to be an official event. But it could look like, hey, I've got some neighbors and they could use to hear the gospel. Can we invite you over? Can we get some people together to go out to coffee and to talk about it? I don't know what it looks like, but let's be creative. Let's try to come up with some stuff. We're also teaching our kids right now in the kids' time. That's a big part of what we do. They're getting the gospel on a regular basis. They're getting dose after dose after dose of that. To me, for prayer, this number four, and the administration, the ordinances. The ordinances are going to happen at a service, right? We're going to do communion and we're going to do baptism at our service. But meeting for prayer can happen all sorts of times. That can happen all sorts of ways. And so there's been several people that have wanted to get together to pray here in the sanctuary, and that's happened at different times. We are for that. We want this building to be used for prayer. God said, my house will be a house of prayer for the nations. We want our house to be a house of prayer. So please, if you want to get a group together and you guys want to pray, sometime we'll get you a key. We will get you access so that you can come in here and pray together. We encourage you to do that in your life groups, in your small groups, in the different interactions that you're having. Chris does that with the band. Every morning when they're getting together, they pray. So we want you to be able to do that as well. And fellowship and ministering to the needs of the brethren. A lot of that happens outside of these doors, and you guys are doing that naturally. You guys are already doing that naturally. But for those of you who are on the outside and you haven't quite made it to like the core of our church yet, please let us know because we want to bring you in. We want to let you know how we operate and how things go. One of the things that we can do off the bat is bring you into the prayer chain. Prayer chain, there's so many prayer requests come through that, and you find out a lot of information about our church, what people need, and how to get involved. And so if you're not on that and you want to be involved in that, please let me know, and we'll work that out. We'll get you involved with that. So I just wanted to spell out some of those things. It's like, great, I came to service, but what else do I do? Life groups is a great one. Please join in that. Find an area to serve at the church. That's an excellent one. And get to know people. Get to know people and get together with them. Those would be the main things that would send you the next level in fulfilling those purposes. With that, I've gone long enough. So I'm going to invite the band up and we're going to close in one of our purposes to worship the Lord. And we will close out with that.